This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com. This is such a wonderful season of family and celebration, and I love to be able to connect with the relationships. You know how good God is to connect us with people and ministries even outside of our city, even on a national and an international level. And one of those connections is Bob Hartley. Bob was here with us 2 years ago in December. He's real excited about that. I met Bob when he was on staff at IHOP, and he was this young, muscle-bound wrestler. You know, now he's an old, saggy. No, not at all. He's still muscle-bound. But it's been awesome for me, sort of from the periphery, to watch what God has done with Bob. And Bob has been raised up now as a prophetic voice to the nations. I follow him on Facebook. I love to watch his Facebook Live videos. It was very encouraging, Bob, for me, especially before the election. Very encouraging to me, because I was really getting disheartened by what I was hearing and seeing, and just appreciate God being able to raise up a voice in the midst of chaos to speak some perspective and some clarity. I'll give you a little background on Bob. He served as a pastor at Metro Christian Fellowship, which became IHOP, we are very connected to. He has served as a missionary in Africa and Israel as well, as an area director for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. With his athletic background, God's opened doors that way. He's been doing chapels for the Royals and the Chiefs. He's served on a number of ministry boards, as well as authoring several books and curriculum, some of which we took advantage of the last time he was here. Today, God's used him as a patriarch of hope. He's a prophetic voice to the nations. We're very honored to have Bob here today. He has a mandate. Listen to this charge the Lord has given him, to raise up 50 million hope reformers around the world. He's establishing these hope centers. And I remember, Bob, when you were here last, you said that we were one of those hope healing centers for the region. And that I've clung to that word. And I've attached my faith and my vision to that, knowing that what we're doing here is bigger than just for us. It's even bigger than for our city, not because we're special, but because Jesus is special and loves this city and this region. He's raising up people to restore. He's championing hope, hope in God, hope in prayer, hope in people, hope in the next generation, hope for cities, hope for nations. And if you remember, when we moved into this building, before we even turned on the lights and started cleaning up the debris, somebody spray painted on the alley behind our dock door the word hope. And I knew then that our call to this city was being confirmed. Today, Bob Hartley and his team are here with us, and I'm going to introduce Bob's team who's coming up. Chris, you want to come up? I got to tell you, these guys have been praying for us like crazy and encouraging me as your pastor. So would you just say thanks to Chris and Bob and the team?
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor Tim. Pleasure to be with you guys again. I tell you what, it is an honor, privilege. You guys have a uncommon leadership team here. With the Doyle family, just the labor of love, the passion that they serve the city with. You know, Bob and I have been to many different churches in the region, and I tell you what, it's just an uncommon quality and passion that he has for everybody in this room, for their dreams to come forth, for the dreams of St. Joe to come forth, for God's dreams to be revealed and be released in all of our lives. So I just appreciate Tim, Krista, the whole family, all the leaders here. Just want to appreciate you guys and maybe give them a hand too, right? We'll pray some and I'll introduce the team. But first, I know JJ has...
Do me a favor.
Sure.
Tell the kids they're released.
The kids are released.
They're not
already. Children, you're free to go.
They're so obedient. You know?
Where are you? They ran out the back. J.J. Wang is our one longtime friend of the team here, builder with us. He's got some products we're going to give away and show you guys, but they're really tools for the journey. So we've given away a few last time, but J.J., if you'll come up, we're going to pass around. If you will, pass around the sign-up sheet to... Here, just give this to Aaron. over here. And let me give away some of these here, okay? Got a lot of tools for the journey. So each one of these things, each one of these tools are important for the journey. This one is the Heart of Adoration. JJ, if you don't mind, you'll give one of these away here. I need you to be up here with me. So we have the Heart of Adoration. So this is a tool that if you put this in your CD player, you're able to learn ways to adore the Lord A to Z right through the faces of God. So we're going to give this away to somebody. Anybody have a birthday this week? Bob, your birthday? Your birthday's in August. Okay, last week. If you'll come up, the Heart of Adoration CD. JJ has plenty of these in the back. Oh, you'll bring it? Okay, we'll give you the next one. We'll give you the next one. If you'll come up, just run up. We'll give it to you real quick. Okay, the next one is the Hope DVDs. This is about building out in our families, in our businesses, in our churches, the five pillars of hope. So this is in the back. Feel free to talk to JJ. This is a great resource. If you have time, if you want to build this out in your family, your organization, on to the next one, the Call to the Wall. If you have a prophetic journey, intercessory journey, the Lord is stirring, want to give one of these away today. How about anybody born near Christmas? We'll give this away to the Christmas baby. We got one in front? Again? Anybody? Okay, run on up. Run on up if you've got a birthday. Call to the Wall. Again, this is a great tool for growing in adoration and asking. A couple more. This is Bob's journey of hope that his son Jed wrote. Jed's a good friend of our team. I hope it's not hereditary. So it's the stories of Bob's life and journeys of how God encountered him in hope and revealed in the midst of every challenge there was a face to see the God of hope, the God that would recover and redeem and restore. Anybody that really loves stories, just run on up real quick. We'll give this away. Anybody that has a heart to tell stories. Okay, there we go. Thank you, sir. Bless you. And we've got several more in the back. We'll run through children's adoration. This is about teaching. I do this with my own two boys. A to Z, just praying through the faces of God. It's fantastic to take children from age 5, 6, all the way up. If you've got kids, just run on up. We'll give one of these away real quick. Perfect, perfect. The coloring book, this is for the children as well. They all ran out on us, though. So we've got the... And the last one here, this is our favorite tool, really, that we have. It's adoration with all the different faces of God, the nature of God to be revealed. We'll give this one away, but again, this is the Adoration Prayer Guide. So see JJ in the back for this. Anybody that's got a toupee in the room? Wait, she's pointing at this guy over here. Yeah, come on up. There we go. Look at that, man. Look at that. So I want to introduce our team to you guys today and then invite them to come on up. But Tim has, you know, talked about Bob and, you know, some of our passion to be with you guys is just the hope that we have for St. Joe's and the connection, the partnership we have to build alongside you guys. You know, part of the mission of our Voice of Hope team is to equip and to build these hope centers. And a hope center is simply this, a place in an organization that has hope at the center, okay? In everything we do, we see the goodness of God. We expect and we anticipate the goodness of God in all of life. Amen? So Bob is going to come up with Ramon. Ramon is also a coach. He's been a coach and an entrepreneur to many, many business leaders and entrepreneurs. He'll be up here with me today. We're going to pray and open up the scriptures in a minute. Then we have Aaron, Megan, JJ, Tommy, all part of our Voice of Hope team that will be praying for you guys at the end. So I want to introduce those guys to you too. If you guys will come up, we can adore and then get into the scriptures for this morning.
Excellent, Chris. Thank you very much. No, we're fine. I'm just going to open up in the door, and then you will come back up, then Ramon. Okay, very good. Really honored to be here with you. Thank you very much. Kind of put it a little closer, then I don't have to carry it over here. I'm Bob. I love everybody. And we are going to have a good morning today. It says in Psalms 100, we enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Oh, magnify the Lord, O our souls, and our faces will be radiant, and there's no shame in us. There's a golden key, and these tools, we spent a lot of money, spent a lot of time on them. You know, I was running a business, and at that time, I was able to finance everything, so we just gave it away. Now, a workman's worth their wages. I think it gets weird in the Christian world. It's just like, should I pay for ministry? Yeah. Pay for somebody who's a workman that spends their time. I pay people to get things done. And I'm just not speaking about me, but there's an investment. And all I want is those people that invest it. Like if you were given a gift there, I mean, the time that went into the heart of adoration with my little girl on the front of it. And just the science of the knowledge of God. You know, and I could go through each of those tools. I don't write things, and we don't, just to create a ministry. This is a movement. And this is a movement that's significant. It's called a Hope Reformation Movement. We believe that we're connected with you guys uniquely in this. So I'd like to open up in a door. Because how do you get hope in God? And as Chris said, a hope center seems to be something, you know, you think I gotta have a degree in organization to make it happen. No, it's you. It's anywhere you move to the center, a confident expectation in the goodness of God. And everybody seems to have places that are mixed. They'll have a hope in this area, and then they'll have a disappointment in this area. And there's a God that wants to meet us and cultivate a place where we're anti-fragile, where we're continually moving forward in hope. But the enemy has a right of first attack. So when you get up in the morning, a lot of times, the enemy will just remind you with what you haven't gotten done or a frustration here or there. And so if you don't hit your knees, like when I was 23, I had 120 staff, and it was over my head. And I'd hit my knees, and I'd say, yum, yum, eat it up. I say, you're the God that's a builder. You're the God that's a provider. You're the God that's a supplier. God that's wise enough for any of these issues. And I just go through the scripture and how my brothers and sisters who were young in the past had met him in that way and made an awesome difference. So let's just declare who he is for a few minutes, and then I'll keep on time, and we'll just jump back to Chris. But somebody play up here on the guitar. Can somebody come up here and play on the guitar? He's where? Okay. And I should ask beforehand, but I always like to minister to the Lord while we're just adoring him as well. Three things we think we're to do with you long term or this year is I believe that there's this pathway, and we'll get to talk to Tim about it. But I was just with Lauren Cunningham, and I've been with Bill Johnson a lot, and I can name some others, not because they're big names or this, they're hearts, but they're generals. And so they're looking for the strategies and the counsel of the Lord, for the table of the Lord. And there's really something that we're heading to for the year 2020. We're really headed to something for this summer. I dreamed in 2002, this summer would be like the summer of Kent State, or it'd be the summer of 68, which is Kent State, or it'd be the summer of 70. 70 is the Jesus movement, and there's going to be a rebirthing of the Jesus movement with wisdom, and some of you weren't necessarily around then. But the older ones are going to get their inheritance. We're always fighting for the children's inheritance, but the children are going to be fighting for the older ones' inheritance, and there's going to be this movement that comes forth from wisdom. And it's been very interesting in my dialogue with the candidates. You know, I didn't have as much connection with Hillary as I did with Trump, but just I sent him about 600 letters from children because they were dividing the baby. They were getting so intense that they were not acting like themselves. That means you become anything it takes to get your job done. You lose relational reality. You lose your joy. And I was, you know, just on the phone a couple of times, and he was not, and this is confidential stuff, but he was just fighting the bitterness because that level of harshness comes at a human being and all those lies, I don't know how anybody stands up against it. But he had a responsibility to be a patriarch to our nation, not CEO of our nation. It's a different response. But he was ready to divide the baby. I mean, it's, you know, just he'd take over the nation, split it, to get her out. And that was not what God wanted to happen. So when all the children wrote him, he read them. And he read in the stump speeches just the love for the children, and it changed him. And I think there's a continual change happening. And I know there's a lot of question marks for a lot of people. And I do believe it's time for us to be patriarchal. Or we will have what happened with Lyndon B. Johnson in the Vietnam War. And if you were in Akron, Ohio, and you know anything about the Kent State, it was incredible bloodshed and what it led to in the division of our nation. We have all these young people that are Sanderites or the Clintonites, and they are very angry. I met with the table full of them yesterday. And so there is a wisdom that God wants to bring us to help us. And one way is we declare who he is in our nation, and we're going to do this together. Lord, we just come to you. God, we say you are the good Samaritan God, and you have the good Samaritan nation. God, that we have that heart to be inclusive in wisdom. God, you are the God that has places that are hope centers that are coming forth on political, educational, financial. Oh, in the churches. You said this would be the year the church got its voice back on a whole nother level. That the secular in the city, the divide would be broken. God, that there would be just visions for cities released this year, according to your name, the vision for St. Joe. You're the God of vision, and the time capsule is opening for the treasures in the dark. God, the treasures that we haven't seen. That you are the God of unfathomable wisdom, and you are opening up those time capsules right now. And St. Joe, our King and our God, God, you're bringing forth a place here in this house where they get visions of God. They not only see, but they hear. Or not only hear, but they see. Like that time I was with Bob Jones, and he said, Jesus was a strange, unique, lovely man. He was so taken back. We'll see you, Jesus. The most strange. That means carefree. That means diverse, authentic, unpretentious. Comfortable at parties, on boats, with fishermen, in the political arenas, in the synagogue. This will be a place where they gaze on you and they go out with exceeding great joy and they go out with the hope movement. Not only that first reformation, how to get saved, which is wonderful, but the second reformation of hope, how do we live? We live in hope, not ducking and hiding, not afraid of predicted calamities. Oh, there are challenges, but you're the God that's bigger. You're the God that's got greater solutions. This will be a place where those greater solutions come forth. This is a place where people will regain their original design. They'll be crowned with honor and majesty. There's few places across the earth where I walked in and I felt that immediately, that a place where people could bring in their shame in so many places and leave with their shame. It's impossible here, God. A place where people get honor, dignity, majesty, whatever situation they're in. You're the God who's greater. You're the God that fights for original design. This is a place, oh God, where the stadiums will be filled, and they will help with Kansas City. But there's a celebration of 10,000 that happened in St. Joe. Now come and just in City Square celebrate the promises of you that you've completed and the promises to come and the greatness of you. Oh, there's a great celebration to come forth, oh God. This is a place where You'll show us your face. And the Psalm 67 will happen. That we'll see nations. We'll see them with our eyes and our spirit. You always said this was a place that would see Israel. See Israel clearly. See it as a place, oh God, that you have picked, our redemptive God, to invite into you. God, and there's other places as well. We just adore you, God, because you're the God of the future, and you're giving futures back in this place. God, I forgot it was even named the God of Restoration. The restoration place, you spoke in a dream, Acts 3:21, that this is the Restoration Hope Center. God, our God, there's nothing greater than the restoration of what you want now and all things. God, that you're recovering our past and you're restoring our future, and this is a place where futures will be restored, oh God. Amazing grace, godly wisdom. This is a place, oh God, where from now on, you receive this with all your heart. Be it done to you according to your faith. Some of you, I felt weightiness on you. Some of you, I just tugged and held and looked in your eyes and felt doubt. I felt the past. I felt, here's another preacher. I clean theaters. I have businesses. Now I'm you, and we're you. There's a place called speaking, Romans 10:8. Just God gives us words to give to each other, encourage each other while it's still today. This place where we're to be changed. This place where we don't come in with doubt, leave with doubt. We can't bring our doubts in. We can't bring our fears in. The Lord is just asking, isn't it hard to be miserable? And you say, yeah, it's hard work to be miserable. Man, I got to fight to be miserable all the time. Isn't it hard work to be unhappy? Yeah, it's hard work. It's just really hard. Isn't it hard work to hold a grudge? Yeah, man, that's hard work. Well, he says, I'm not going to stop until you're happy and hopeful, so you might as well deal with it. So God, we agree. This is a place where they're not overcome, but they overcome. It's a place, God, 1 Corinthians 2:16 happens. For who has known the mind of Christ? It will instruct them. But they will have that prophetic spirit, the mind of Christ. This is a place of home. This is a place of Solomon's porch. No problems on that porch. This place. Just where people are delighted in. They look in each other's eyes like a mother to a baby. Just delight in each other, oh God. God, it's so underestimated. The power of joy, the power of delight. God, this place where they delight in their futures. They even delight in their circumstances because they know that you're going to come out for good, oh God. This is a place where people will flock to them. Like it says in Zechariah 8:20, it says, 10 men will grab your garment and say, I want to know your God. They are an aroma of joy, celebration, wisdom, hot honey from above. It's coursing through each one of you right now. No dusty cabin thoughts. Your minds are filled with palaces of golden light. This is a place where all are welcome. The great and the small. These reformers that come in. This is a place where you say it's time of transition. Well, people have come and they've been wounded and weary, now they're willing. Now it's time to build. Latent greatness is to come forth out of different ones here where they volunteer freely. They know what to volunteer, and others will come and do the same. It's time to be a building house, not just an occupying, not just a place of encouragement, but a building house together. They got a call. We just thank you, the God of the calling, that you who began a good work will perfect it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is where I'm giving back to Chris. Chris is going to give us an overview. I'm going to do three things. Overview of the Hope Reformation, just kind of a present tense word with it. And then Ramon is going to give you declarations. Ramona's is sharp, and Chris is also, as anybody I've ever met, you know. And so he spends time and meditates, and I didn't give him a lot of time for this, but I just read what he wrote. I would really sincerely take it to heart, the meditations that he's given you, the declarations, because if you ask the wrong things out of the wrong time, you get the wrong answers. And you get questions of injury if you ask questions about, like, why did my grandmother die the way she did? He said, such a big question for such a little man. It was the wrong question at the wrong time. He said, this will injure you. And so I have to have questions. I say, you tell me what to ask you. And so it's very important, and he's a master of the questions. And then I'll come up afterwards, and we're going to speak to a few people, and we've got to watch our time. Okay, come on up, Chris. Thank you for Chris. I like Chris, and he's cut his hair, and he's really looking sharp, and he's making money in sales. And I don't know why you're not tithing more to me. I need some money, man. We're gonna build something. We need some straw to build the bricks. Hey, I do want to pitch in on the movie, or not the movie, the songs, but I want to see your building plan, whoever that was. So, and I'd like to make it, you know, fairly substantial, but I want to see the building plan for it. Okay. Who was that? Matt. Okay. I have a man named Blake. I'll just refer to it. Lauren Cunningham, and I have them. Oh, you take that. I have a man, YWAM, and I met with all of them, and I called them Youth. They got a new name, Youth with a Lot of Money. I said, the man of season, you're going to make some money. So I cut him loose on doing CrossFits. And Blake, I said, you got to learn how to make a business plan. I'm not going to let you do this, you know, where you just kill yourself because you don't do it right. So, and I'm investing as he shows that he's competent in these areas. And that's okay if you're not, but let's not get you ahead of schedule. So I want to see, because that's quite an endeavor, you know, building new songs of hope. And I had Lord speak. I showed it to Ramon beforehand, just as he got up there, songs of hope that he's to release with others. This is right. It's right, but it's just, you got to do it the right way, too.
That was good, Bob. That was good, yeah. That was good. I'll give you a couple dollars after. So we're going to talk a little bit about the God of recovery today. And I just want to open up that face of the God that recovers all. But first,
I won't do this to you often. That's the word of the Lord for this next year for you, the God of recovery.
So we're going to open up that face and begin to adore a little bit. The face of the God of recovery, the God that recovers all in our lives, in the king's lives, in our nation's life. But first, Bob, I want me to talk a little about the Hope Reformation and what the Lord has spoken to Bob and our team over the last several decades, over the last several years specifically. But we know that in the 1500s, there was a first Reformation where the Lord began to speak to his people that you're saved by grace through faith. There was a grace of God that would come in and secure the heart, that love would come in and secure the heart. But the Lord also spoke to Bob and our team about there's another Reformation coming, and it's begun today. It's begun these last several years. It's called a Hope Reformation, where we begin to see God through the lens of hope, that there was the picture of the two spies that would go into the promised land and see the promises of God versus the 10 spies that would see and magnify the challenges, that would magnify the calamity. But we were to be ones that would have the lens of the two eyes, the two spies, that God was going to give us a new pair of seeing eyeglasses to see, and everything we would see would be through the lens of hope. Everything that we would see would be through the lens of promise. And God's called this church, the Restoration Church, and each one of us in this room to see everything through the lens of hope, through the lens of his promise, through the lens of his ability to recover and redeem and restore. So that is the Hope Reformation, that everything that God is doing is through the lens of goodness, promise, hope. And the Lord spoke that love would secure the heart. The grace of God would come in and teach us that we're saved. But then how then shall we live? We'll live in hope. That we will live from a place of hope in God, hope in others, hope in the next generation, hope for St. Joe's. And hope would advance our hearts. Hope would advance our destinies. Hope would be the key and the gateway to seeing our dreams fulfilled, our purposes fulfilled. That without hope, we would get stuck in the mud. We get stuck magnifying the wrong things. And David said, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us exalt his name together. Because if we magnify him, when we magnify him, he becomes big. The promises become big. The Joshua and Calebs go back and they tell the people, look how great the promises are. Look how great the opportunity is versus look how great the challenges are. So you, each and every one of you, the kings and queens in Restoration Church, are to be ones that would magnify the goodness of God, that magnify the God of the 50 million mile high view, that they would see God as higher, as greater, as bigger, the God that could recover all in a challenge. So I'm going to read, I know they have it up on the screens here in a minute, from 1 Samuel 30. We're going to open up a story from King David's life about how there was a season of challenge. And the Lord had spoke to us about, you know, some of the ones in the room and even in our own lives, there's been a season of challenge or even a season of trial. And we're going to read, if you guys have 1 Samuel 30, I'll begin to read through some of the scriptures here and kind of give context to the decrees that Ramon's going to give and to some of the prophetic words that Bob's going to deliver towards the end. But it's the God that is going to recover all. So we've got 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. The context is this, is that they are in a season of great battle and warfare. David and his mighty men are in a position where they're not yet, he's not yet the king, but they're in the middle of warfare. And the Amalekites come in, and we'll read verse 1. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against them. Go down to verse 3. And when David and his men came to the city, they saw that it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. So imagine, it's total devastation. It's total loss. Verse 4, then David and the people who were with him raised their voices, and they wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives had also been taken captive. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each one for his sons and daughters. But here's the key point. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So it was a time of devastation and warfare. There was a time of challenge. There was a time where he lost his family. That the people were mad at him. And there were seasons for each one of us. Times of mistreatment. Times where people maybe had the wrong view of us. Wrong perceptions. And there was a time where even there was family challenges. Time for financial challenges for some of us. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So that's number one, that we're going to strengthen ourselves. We're going to put our hope in God. Verse 7, and David said to the priest, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and recover all. So that's the face of God that God wants to show us this morning, and that we're going to declare and decree over one another, that in the midst of challenge, the first thing we run to is say, Lord, what is your promise in this situation? We run to the ephod, and the ephod was simply a place and an instrument that we could hear God's voice. That David said, I'm going to strengthen myself in God. I'm going to adore the Lord, and then I'm going to inquire. So it's adoration and asking. It's a new AA program that the Lord's releasing to his people that would bring recovery, that would bring us into a place where we could celebrate recovery together. So inquiring of the Lord. So then it goes on to talk about how David went out after the Lord told him to attack the Amalekites. It says he went out and he sought after them. If we'll go down to verse 16. He begins to get a vision of the land, and he's beginning to go back into the warfare. And it says, and when he had taken him down, behold, they were spread around the land. So the Amalekites are celebrating their victory against David's people. Verse 17. And David struck them down from twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped. Verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken. Verse 21, then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David, and they went out to meet him and meet the people that were with him. Then all the wicked and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of that spoil. But David said, you shall not do so, my brothers. For what the Lord has given to us, he has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us. And it goes into verse 29 and 30. It says, when David came to Ziklag, he sent part of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, and he said, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. So the Lord is saying to us today that there is a time of recovery for each one of our dreams. There's a time of recovery of our identities. There's a time of recovery for our original design. There's a time of recovery in Restoration Church as a ministry. There's a time where we recover it all, and it leads to the benevolence empire. It leads to a place where we go and we capture the spoil that's been stolen by the enemy, and we give it to our friends. We even give it to those that maybe didn't join us on the journey, and we turn it over and say, look what God's done for us. So I'm going to invite Ramona, and he's going to make some decrees from the context of these scriptures, the God that's going to recover all in all of our journeys.
So good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You know, when I walked in, I was so impressed with the aroma of hope. I was involved in a startup last year and trained as an aromatherapist, and learned that there's a certain scent, and it has an impact that you don't see often. And there's just such a sweet aroma of hope here, a hope to restore hearts. Help people get their hearts back. And I noticed your logo, and I thought of it was something that Tim had said earlier in the prayer, how this was a gateway. This was a gateway to the West. And I saw your logo, and I thought of the Statue of Liberty, because when God is restoring, often we have to get free first.
Yep.
And Bob had talked about foreigners coming here to help you build.
Yes.
And yes. And I believe they're going to see something, and they're going to know they're in the right place.
Yes.
And I was sitting there, and I noticed this little 19 right above this place, and the thought that came to mind was Psalms 19, where it says the voice, their voice will go out through the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
Wow.
And Bob talks about ridiculous faith. And that's the faith that we've got to have. We've got to have ridiculous faith, not ridicule faith. Not faith that's based on what we are not, but who we are. And that's the Psalms 23 and 53. God says he restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And in Psalms 14, how he says he restores fortunes. He restores fortunes. He restores what was lost. He brings it back. Just a few notes, and that those foreigners are coming to help. But it's not just the foreigners, that the ones that have been in the land are not going to be left out. The average Joes are going to become amazing Joes. And so the notes on 1 Samuel 20. Start this timer. Time is important to God. It's our life for him. Ziklag. Chris talked about that. Chris has prophet eyes. Every time I see him, I want to run to God. Ziklag. The word means it's a 1 Samuel 30. Yeah. Zigzag is the word means winding. It's a twist. It's a turn. It's a God-anticipated turning point. All of us have had a zigzag, a place where life has changed. And it's so important to interpret the change properly, because sometimes you can get distracted by all the things that change, that appear to be negative, but God is working in it, and he's with you. And there's some of you that have been writing about these things, and you've been contemplating these things, and the Lord is saying, no, ask me, where was I in that moment? See his face. Remember his promise. And reclaim what he said to you, and stand for it. Chris talked about David strengthening himself in the Lord. And it takes ridiculous faith. Faith is a life that you live that gives evidence to what you say you believe. And so you're turned forward into God, where there's this feeling in the storm, you know, you turn away, but you turn into it. And God is able to do something wonderful. So the key to recovery is not what's happened, but how we respond. It's our secret history in God. God is looking for godly offspring to fulfill his purpose. And it's part of the promise that we have in hoping in him, to hope in the next generation, to pursue the enemy and not persecute the children. And so there are just some declarations. You know, the product of zigzag, your zigzag experience, is a healed hope. There's a practical hope that prevails for this place. It's that Acts 3:21 Hope Center that has a practical hope that's going to prevail. And it's an inheritance now. And we believe that there's some categories that you're to hope for and that you're to reach for in very practical ways. And so we want to cover those categories very quickly. But that thought of the Jeremiah 29:11 God who says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, and they're good. Yes. He's not turned by your mistakes. He's not discouraged by what happens in life, but he says, I have good plans for you, and I haven't changed my mind. And there's some categories of these plans in 2017 that we're to reach forth. This is to be a place of deep hope, a place that sees through a different lens. There are people who are, they're seeing the storm. They're fixated on the storm, the difficulties of life. But you're going to see, you're going to get your head above the cloud with these tools of as you adore the Lord, he's going to lift you. Bob talks about having that 50 mile view, where you can see what God is doing in the midst of whatever it is. But there are these categories, and these are declarations of hope, but they're also declarations of humility that declare that God's strength is greater than our strength, that declare God's love is greater than what we face, that his provision is superior to man's. And it releases great hope to participate in several areas, to participate in the area of purpose, to participate in the area of perspective. God's releasing purpose here, perspective, promise, people, and provision. You know, there's a thing that I saw some years ago where this woman won a contest and she was able to rush into the store. And she was able to grab as much as she could grab in a short period of time. And there's that tendency when you hear all of this to try to just grab as much as you can. But I want you to know the store is going to stay open to you. That you're not going to just have to run in and feel lost because your hands weren't big enough right now to get the 25 things that you could get. But there's that one key that God will give you in these areas, and that one key will open the door, and it'll keep the door open. And you'll have what you need, and more than what you need, and you'll be able to give and be a blessing And there'll be something tremendous that comes out of that. So we believe in purpose, and we declare the Genesis 1 proclamation over you, where God made it and he said it was good. And I think it's important to declare over your life and to declare over your children's lives and to declare over your family's life, it is good. Yes. It is good. You know, there's a little poem that came to mind for you, that life can throw you a curveball and the giants seem too tall. God's calling you into that place, and sometimes, but you will inherit the land. If having done all, you stand. Sometimes your purpose is to be right where you are and to give what you have. Don't underestimate the little that's in your hand with a big God. It's where, as Chris shared earlier, it's where the 10 become 1,000. It's the declaration that God is good. It's one of the most important declarations, I believe, we're believing for this season, that God is good and his mercy endures forever. Declare that over your life. Declare the goodness of God over your life. Turn to the person that's sitting next to you and say, God is good and his mercy endures forever. And this positions our heart for perspective. It positions our heart for perspective, where we're not comparing ourselves. Yes. We're not allowing ourselves to be filtered by our mistakes or our past. But we hear the thundering voice, that 1843 that Tim talked about. We believe the beginning point of that is the Isaiah 43 and 18, where it begins, God, he speaks with a thundering voice. It's a voice of hope, and it's a whisper of his unfailing love. And he says, remember not the former things. Don't consider the things of old. But behold, I am doing a new thing, and it's springing up.
That's right.
Perceive it. Yes. Perceive it. Look for it. Yes. Reach for it. Expect it. Expect a new thing in your life. Don't get trapped in your past. Don't get trapped in why. Reach up and out of your comfort zone and let God begin to do something in you where you get new vision, new inspiration, new ideas. We declare that God is releasing those inspired ideas where you're going to begin to see your work different. You're going to begin to see what's possible, see what's in your hand different. There was another thought that came to mind that there are no dreams dying here. Recovery of dreams. Recovery of dreams. Bob has talked so much about the journey of the Yellow House, and we declare here that journey is that Psalms 115 to 117 journey. For often it begins where the nations say, where is God? Yeah. Often we begin our journey in the place where we say, where is God in what we're going through, what we've gone through, the difficulties of life? Where is God? And we progress to Psalms 116, where we don't try to answer the mistakes or the difficulty or the problem or get caught in the trap of why, but we say, gracious is the Lord and righteous, he is merciful.
That's right. Yeah.
And so we contend for our future with the mercy and the grace of God, not the pain and the difficulty of the past. And so we believe that you're progressing on this journey, and we encourage you to read it. Psalms 115 to 117, and then you progress into 117, where it says, for great is his steadfast love. His faithfulness endures forever, and there's a praise that comes forth. There's a worship and a praise, and so we progress from a perspective, and so we ask God, what perspective do you want me to have? Yeah. How do you want me to see my circumstances? How do you want me to see my future? How do you want me to declare your goodness and your mercy over my life, over my children, over my business, over my city, over my community?
That's right.
And we progress into his promises. We know that God is releasing great promises. There's a promise that holds provision. There's a promise that holds people. We declare that he is the Deuteronomy 7 and 8 faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. And we progress to people. And we declare that you will not be overwhelmed by circumstances or the past, but that you will hold to the promises of God. Turn to the person that's sitting next to you and say, I declare great promise and purpose over your life. Now turn to the other person on the other side and say, do you receive it? I love what Bob said about young people returning to the land. It's a youth movement of strength. But fathers and mothers are the foundation, and that children are going to fight for the inheritance of their fathers and mothers. There's a great calling in that. And then there's so much more. But I know Bob will have, if probably the guitar man can come back, you'll have some very specific things to share with people. And so, Lord, thank you for helping us. You want to help us. You're not going to leave us stranded. We will recover all.
Yes,
we will recover all. Yes. Turn to the person that's next to you and declare over their life, you will recover all. And I encourage you, you know, sometimes you have to lay hands on yourself. Just put your hand over your heart and say, I will recover all. I will recover all. And with that place of faith and believing God, we open our hearts to his voice. Because when you are facing what many of us have faced in our life, you need a word from God. You need God to remind you who you are to him. How much he loves you. How he cares for you. How he looks past the 10,000 and he sees the one. And he calls you back. He reminds you of what he spoke to you in your youth. Gentle words tell you what he means, what you mean to him. So Bob is going to come up now, and maybe he'll tell a few stories and help remind you of who you are for him.
Thank you, Ramon. Excellent. You know, it's a study we need to do. It's 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6, but there's 18 through 31, and there's treasures in here that we can't unlock during this time. I'll just give you the history of it. A couple of weeks ago, I'm with Bill Johnson at his table. It's the Hinn family, if you know the Hinns. You know, you've heard of them. But Sammy Hinn is a man that had an indiscretion like 5 years ago. And so I'm in a place, Mark Sharonis, and there's a round table, and Hinn family's there. And I walk in, and he said, do you have anything to say, Sam? Well, I've never met him. And I sat down, and I went through 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6 with him, and then I went through 18 through 31. And he wrote it back verbatim. He says, but I believe he added a lot of good insight. And there's 10 chapters on it. And it's this, all about the God of recovery. Because David recovered all, they wanted to kill him. And there's so much more to the story. And, you know, not only recovers all, we recover the all by going back into our memories and seeing the goodness of God and recovering our past. There's a whole lot in that statement. But the way we access the future is we get the ephod. We have to have a word of God now, presently. And then we access the future like David did when he said, the Lord said, go get him. David closes his eyes and he sees his children running out from behind the rocks. You know, they were hiding, shouting daddy. He sees his wives come running out. He sees his man that he loves, their wives running out. He sees that no one was harmed, and it reads in the scripture that way. And then he sees the Amalekites. He's seeing this because a man, as he thinks in Proverbs 23:7, he becomes that. You see calamity, that's what you're going to become. Many of us have given us him, our hearts, but not our minds. And this place where he imagines, he sees, according to the direction of the Lord, this divine imagination, he sees the Amalekites run off, sees the plunder, he takes it. And you know, he sees that his men turn back for him. If you've been in leadership a couple of years ago, I ran into the most devastating thing I've ever had in my life. I was married 30 years, and my wife and I never separated. She had gone to Zimbabwe with me, and it was a very painful experience for her. And she's kind of got quiet after that. Then we went to Israel. That was very difficult for her. We came back. She's a very proper woman. She didn't talk about her feelings a lot. I said, hey, I think we need to get counsel. But she had three parents die, and I had adrenal failure. And so they were within 18 months, and they were everything to her. And I came, but I own a movie theater. I own commercial real estate. So I'd sneak out in the bathroom, and I'd text, you know, to see that this wasn't a falling apart. And I come out, and she looked at me like, are you going to get a clue? And I went with her to a place where they have a mall, and they have a food court. We were watching this older man feed his wife, and it was so beautiful. She had Alzheimer's and just the patience. And she looked at him, and then she looked at me. Like, you know, she had decided I wasn't going to be able to do that. I said, in a heartbeat, I'd do that. But I decided to downsize because it was too much pressure on my family. We had grown too much, and I had back injury, and my adrenals failed. I had way too many staff, and it was just painful as heck. So I start to downsize and run. My general manager gave 20% of our company, and he lives off of it. It's a good amount of money, and he earned it. Well, I give that to him, and that night, after they say goodbye, and they're best friends with my wife, she asked me upstairs. So I come upstairs, and I'm smiling, and she said, I want you to go, and you have 30 days, and if God doesn't change my heart in 30 days, then we're divorced. And so we went to Mike Bickle, and I said, Terry, this is just a, you know, it might smell relief. He's not been in adultery. He's not been, I said, but it won't smell peace. And, you know, I was tough to be with those last years because you get pain, anger, and I never yelled at her. She's not the kind of woman you'd do that to. But I just, you know, survival was, I was happy just to, like Paul standing, I succeeded. So I have no excuse. It's my responsibility. It can't be 30 years of marriage and not have blown it. And so I'm not going into the who's wronger room. I'm going into the yellow house that he's invited me into for 30 years. Before I was a believer, I dreamed of this yellow house. And it's a wholeness. It's more than that. It's a preparation for kings and queens because reformers and those who work in the marketplace, you have a different kind of pain than pastoral pain. I was a pastor. You know, when I was CEO and I go into my different people who are working for me, I'm just barely making it. And they're selling my equipment out of their garage. is thousands of dollars worth of janitorial equipment. You know, I got hurt. I started fire on friend and foe. I needed healing for CEO pay. I needed healing for reformer pay. And I went into nations and spoke. Norway, 12,000. And they wrote on me on the front page of the paper, false prophet, says there's going to be war in Norway. It was all a lie. But it didn't bother me, but it bothered my family and others that kicked back. And I wasn't ready to deal with it. So Bill Johnson, when this started happening with my wife, and he talked to her, and he said, you know, they haven't walked in the world you've walked in. And that's true about many of us. And so those that I had been getting counsel with, there were some wonderful things. But I believe there's a whole new preparation for us as reformers. And simply a reformer, we use this highfalutin language, is simply one who brings the heart and the ways of God into wherever you dwell. Whether education, like my father brought play therapy into inner city schools. And it was the heart of God. He brought joy. And it's massive what these kids that were throwaways are doing now. And I could go on and name other places where the impact radiates through the ages. And you are called to be walking hope centers. And we've got a choice today. And Ramon was giving you some awesome declarations. And I believe we'll get more definitive. I believe he was to give you those categories, define them, and for you to go and ask the Lord, because he's giving you 90 days of delight. You have no permission for misery for the next 90 days. No commiserate friends. And I've had to catch myself. And delight is just being the sparkle in somebody's eye. Delight is just being the sparkle, like God's got a sparkle about your future. And you're agreeing with that. You know, for a while after my wife said, I don't want you, I didn't know who I was. It's like two particle boards glued together for 30 years. And I'm an Irish Catholic boy, no divorce in our family ever. And it's pulled apart. And when the one you love loses hope in you, I just was totally, you know, just in a place of just beat. The pain is horrific. And then dank emotions, if they get to you, then you change. And I found, you know, here's 54% of the population, if not more, all these guys I knew, I come to them, Roland Baker, he'd been divorced, and he talks about it open enough that I'm not revealing him wrongly. John Arnott, a lot of these ones that were offered to be a covering to me, I said, why? I said, we experienced the same thing. But they bounced back. They took their responsibility, and they bounced back. And I am going to recover all. I had a dream a month before it happened, and it was the year of darkness, and it's an 18-page dream. I got to find it. It's just so distinct and specific. Year of darkness, well, I'm not going to proclaim that. I'm the hope guy. I thought I misinterpreted and said, you're about to get wounded at your core. And it said, negative emotions will come. And I said, don't let them become dank emotions. Don't be harsh on yourself. It was very kind from him. Be gentle with yourself during this process. You haven't known comfort in times like this. You know, in a strong behavior modification model, just change it. And it went on. It said, you won't be a divorced, alone guy, but you'll be a patriarch of love and hope. And you have many children and many congregations that will be your children. And I'm feeling so disqualified after the dream that that's true with my own children or with others. I failed, it feels like. But he had shown me this rock that's twice as big as this building, and it had Hartley lineage on it. It's going to be unmoved. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's going to be unmoved. And I'm decreeing, as Ramon's saying those decrees, I've written down decrees, he has to give them to you. And then you say, this is a place where these are children that. And I believe he wants to give you those decrees. And some of us have been sitting around way too long thinking about yesterday. Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks like they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, you become not the half the man you're supposed to be. Because you bought this. We have a tendency to remember the future. We do not remember the future. We walk into it and we see it in a restored way. And so there's much to be learned, and we'll have more time on this passage, because it's a great ride. And it's awesome because what it spells ultimately, it spells the reality of we have a God, and I lost all. I'm living on 30% of my income. I gave 50% to my wife, gave her $7,600 a month. I do not necessarily have that. And, you know, my accountant said, Hartley, you're going to be $3,100 a month in debt. I just thought, I can hustle. Because I made business work before. Well, I don't have the hustle I've had, but so all of you would like to be partners. Yes. Hate to be an evangelistic beggar, but no. But, you know, it just tremendous change. And the Lord, when my wife said, hey, I don't, you know, this is done, I walked out in the car. It was freezing. It's just cold. And I felt somebody's hands on my face. And I looked up and I saw those brown eyes. I'm not going to go there. I can't go there and come back. And he told me he delighted in me. I mean, he helped me and he delighted in me. And I said, what about this area? Delighted in that area. He doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. And he said, you quit going to the I love you room in the yellow house. And the I love you room, he gives you a rose. And it's just his desire to tell you how much he loves you, who you are to him. So I would encourage you on this journey to the Yellow House. I might define a little. And I know we only have a few minutes here this morning. Oh, you know, the loss of dignity, the deep disappointments they had suffered. You have suffered. You can recover all. You can recover your dignity. You can recover from deep disappointment. You can recover from financial failure. You can recover to have a meaningful, fulfilling call in life. You might have suffered tremendous loss, but I want you to see this face. This is the face you're to see. This is the face you're to communicate. This is the face that St. Joe needs to hear. There is a God of recovery. We will not allow our personal tragedies, failures, to define our identity. Failure and loss are events. They're not who we are. Failure and loss are things that happen to us. We are not what has happened to us. We are not the choices we made. We're not failed marriages. We're not that. We're not the setbacks of yesterday. We're not the past. Isaiah 58, 11, 12, I will show you where to go. I will give you a full life in the most emptiest of places. That's a message version. Think about that. A full life in the most empty of places. Because he recovers all. I will give you a well-watered garden. I'll give you firm muscles, strong bones. I'll give you a watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of your past lives to build anew and rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can do anything, fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate and make the community alive again. This is a promise to you. You might have been hurt, but you are not irrevocably broken. Do not accept that lie. You might have been victimized, but you're not an eternal victim. You might have suffered, but you're not a loser. You might have failed, but you're not a failure. Oh. So I want to just speak to you a few and realize that recovery is God's plan. God himself suffered the greatest loss, the greatest betrayal, the greatest misunderstanding. He lost his whole family. He lost it all. And he recovered it all. And he's restoring all things to him. I get to identify with him. I get to say, wow, a little bit, like Paul said, the fellowship of his sufferings. I didn't choose the suffering, but I sure get to fellowship with him in it. I get to touch a little bit of what he went through. And it's not sorrow with the heaviness. There's such a tenderness. It's a sorrow with the hope. We were hope first. And we got hope that's carefree hope, careless, our childlike hope. We got hope against hope, hope unseen. And we got a sorrow with hope. We love to go into grief room. It's part of the yellow house. And I want to speak to you about the journey of the yellow house next time. But it's very important because you're called to it. And it's modules. And there's a way for it to be built over this next season, where we're keeping focus, like Esther, on the preparation he has for us, because we're reformers. We're not pulpit people, all of us. I'm not that great with a microphone. I'm not that great with a guitar. But I know I'm great with janitors. I know I'm great in educational institutions with the intellectuals. I don't know why. I'm not as smart as them. But I go to the major meeting on meaning. I know I'm good with political leaders. I'm with them all the time. I just know that I'm weird. And my anointing is weird. But he wants me to be Bob. And the greatest question he's going to ask you when you get up before him is not, did you love? That's going to be an important question. I do not compete with Bob. I'm very good friends with Bob. But I submitted this to him. Here's the fourth level of love. He's going to ask you, did you become you? Did you become you? Because the world will not be able to receive the unique you that we need so bad if you become something else. You're gifted and you're unique and you just got to be you. And I want to, in one of these rooms, it's called the BU room. And he took me in. He showed me who I thought I was or who I had become, like the tragedy of Roger Slocum. 45 years old, he's putting on his tie. And he's looking in the mirror and he's saying, who is Roger Slocum? He just became what corporate America wanted him to be. And that might fit others. But who are you? Who does he want you to be? How does he want you to manifest yourself in this season of your life? How does he want to manifest his church in this season? We're not assuming anything. We're going with him. And he'll give you those age-old foundations, but I'm going to speak to a few of you, and we'll have more time the next time. And here's my posture in prophesying right now. I about died prophesying. Virtue leaves you. People, it's like with teaching and having a relationship, easy. I avoid people after most meetings because they don't want to talk. Just how you doing? Just relax. They bring the deepest things. And I'm not a machine. I'm a man. And I got to honor the boundaries from now on. And whether I can hear or not doesn't matter. I put my antennas down. Because I'm disobeying him when I answer somebody's question that he wants to answer. So it's a different place. I'm called to be a prophet that does Ephesians 4, equips other prophets. And I believe the time is for us to come together. And I know this is off the charts, what we can educate one another on how to hear him. The history and the lessons, the guardrails and the wisdom, and it's all positive. And I want to have us put that on the calendar. We come and we have a dialogue on how to hear his heart. Because the number one to love someone is to listen to their heart. And then two, I believe that he wants us to be trained in how to be adoration pillars. He gave me that first understanding of you, that you were to be the ones that adored and were these adoration pillars fixed. You'll be packed dynamite. You'll be the Daniel 12 threes. It says, those who know their God will do mighty exploits. So shine like the stars. And as Ramon was saying, you get aroma. More than what you know of hope and of life and of vitality. And you might look at yourself and say, I got fat thighs. I got runny nose. I belch too much. Who cares? You got aroma. It's much greater than that. So I speak to Tim. Tim, it's been a while. We haven't had many conversations, and sometimes that's intentional. So I'll hear because I want to not necessarily be filled in on all your history, because your history doesn't help me sometimes, because it doesn't speak to me about the present and the future. So thanks, Ramon. So he spoke. So it's a year. You were the recovery king. And there's 6,000-year-old seeds that have been planted. Now, I don't understand that this nation isn't that old. But they found in Egypt these 6,000 old seeds, and they watered them or whatever, and they started to grow. And it was just a picture for me that these treasures of the deep, I'm giving you point by point, number one point, uncovering these seeds. That the treasures of the deep is the dark places you bring treasures out. And you show people how that you met him in that place. You got to write it down in hope. There's seed planted about this Joseph Rubidoux, this Michael Rubidoux. I don't understand it. I ask you to ask the Lord about that. There's a history that's to continue on a legacy. To this Isaiah 45, I gave that to you about finding the darkness, the treasures in the darkness. And there's this journey through the yellow house, I believe, that will help. And we'll talk about it at lunch. Third, Israel, just as an inheritance and a hope for you as a people, for the people of Israel. And you're going to have dignitaries come here. You're going to have Heather Johnson. You're going to have Jeff Sessions. Write it down. I know them both. And I believe we're going to have a celebration of St. Joe, and they're awesome people. Awesome lovers of God. Heather is off the charts. Jeff Sessions is more of a denominational guy. That's the keep in here. Also, you will have other dignitaries come here. And it's important for you as a people, not to not be who you are, but it's like when I went to Zimbabwe and I'd sit there and I'd wear rough clothes and I'd eat with these guys. And these guys ate with the prime minister. And I'm chewing with my mouth open, spitting my food out, and I'm just being me. They get up and they move their whole families away from me. Because there's just a way to come in and out before a king. And you're all kings. But there's a way to honor the ones that are going to come here and trust you with their hearts. And I believe that there's a preparation that he wants to give you for that. Tim, I believe that you're to have the restoration of marvelous comrades, the recovery of marvelous comrades. We'll talk about that. You're to have a howdy week. When I was in college, we had Central Missouri State, third strictest college, and we got to be done in 2 minutes. Are we okay? 2 minutes, we're done. And you want to do something at the end? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Howdy week. I'll just finish with this. We got a lot of the better stuff coming. Howdy week was, we had, you know, about 12 tribes that hated each other. And our leader, he was called, I got to remember his name, but it's unimportant because he got kicked it out. Lovinger, after years. But he ran it like a military school, and it was oppressive. So I came in and I ran this thing called the Students Council's Relations Board, trying to get the students to get together. So it wouldn't work. So I get this weird idea. We're going to have Howdy Week. So you would say howdy to a person, and blacks wouldn't say howdy to whites. You know, Spanish people wouldn't say howdy to other people. The sororities wouldn't say howdy to the independent girls. They're better than that. But now they're going to get prizes, and they're pretty good prizes if you said howdy to the right person. Well, we had a car. Somebody was going to get a car if they said howdy to the right person. The whole campus turns into howdy, 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 howdy. And not only that, they looked into each other's eyes. I said, you got to look in each other's eyes. You got to take 2-3 seconds. I said, all right, we had a TV show. And I said, you got to mean it. And they did it. And I saw by the end of the week, people that were enemies sitting down, having coffee, enjoying each other. And there's a howdy week to happen across St. Joe, whatever that looks like. Where the police chief, or the police, and I wrote different groups down. I have to look and find that. Where these are groups that were the farmers and the bankers, the churches to one another, the gangs, the prostitutes and the police, and there were other ones that I believe something as simple and dumb as having a howdy week will begin a momentum that will head us a whole different direction. So I'm speaking to Tim and Krista, and I haven't shared with Krista, and we'll spend more time because I believe the Lord wants to crown people and put you into place. So you're all invited to stay for the second service. Who cares about the Chiefs game? It's not till noon, and you get to tape it anyhow. Whoever tapes it, we're going over to their house. So, Chris, you come up here. We would like, if people are interested in partnering with us, you know, obviously this is your first place to give your resources, but we're counting on you guys coming into some sick prosperity, rich prosperity. You know, you guys, I just think, let's believe for some multiplied. You're Jed Clampett. You're going to find oil in the backyard.
So I'll turn it back over here to Tim just a minute. But for anybody that wants to go on the journey with us, go to Facebook and just click on Deeper Waters, Bob Hartley. Click like on the page. Constant resource for you guys to be fed on the journey of hope. I see Tim commenting on there. It's always fun to see fresh faces. Just say, hey, we're at Restoration Church. So go to Facebook. Also, bobhartley.org. If you want to subscribe to our newsletter, weekly update, weekly videos, it's all free. If you'd like to partner with the 52 Weeks of Hope, we have that where it's mentoring on there 52 weeks of the year, along with Hope 365 Daily Adoration. Tim, I'll turn it back over to you. But bobhartley.org.
Awesome.
Yes, and if you haven't signed up, JJ's collecting everybody's name at the back. JJ, do you have everybody's email and all that? Perfect.
So see, when the prophet comes to the house, you just take off your shoes, kick back. It's like family reunion time, right? You just kind of let it all hang out and snack and enjoy each other. Have you enjoyed today? I just appreciate Bob and his team so much. Ramon, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us. And Chris, appreciate you guys. Let's bless these guys as they leave. And as Bob said, if you want to hang around for second service, I'll tell you, I gave him a list of all your names before he came. So he's already been praying for y'all. And so you might want to stick around. If not, of course, we'll be recording both services and you can catch it online. But let's bless these guys as they go. I want to be blessing not just the gas money, but I want to bless them big time as they go. So ushers, if you get ready to pass the buckets, let's receive an offering that's specific for these ministers of the Lord who've come to pour out their lives on us. And go ahead and pass the buckets, guys, and I'm going to pray over the offering and then release you, because I know that you're anxious to get out of here, and we got a whole room full of people ready to get in. So, Father, thank you so much for how good you are. Lord, that you love us so much that you allow us, God, to hear, Father, your heart through various means. And, Lord, today I'm just so grateful, Lord, for the creative way, for the relational way, Lord, for the intimate ways that you speak to us. So, Lord, we just want to sow into this good soil. Thank you for Bob and the team that have come today. And we want to bless them. We want them to know as they leave St. Joe, this is a place you come to be blessed. This is a place that doesn't just take from us, but that they receive more than what they gave out because, Father, of the generosity of this, the heart of this city. So we thank you for it, God. Thank you, Lord, for the days ahead, Lord, that you've said are better than the days behind, that we have a future and a hope in you, that we're going somewhere, and we say thank you for the journey we get to enjoy together. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.